your co-host, Master Patsy Zarella, and with me, as always, my friend and fellow co-host and instructor, Master Grant Miller. How are you today, sir?
I am doing well. How are you?
I could not be any better. It's a beautiful day out around here, considering what we had last week. It's actually above freezing. I'm doing our broadcast with you. What could be better? What could possibly get any better than this?
You know, with that deep cold, and then all of a sudden the sudden thaw in the warm weather, it just leads to everybody going to get sick.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah, probably. Probably can't. Nothing you can do about that. We are subjected to the weather and the climate. There's no doubt of that. Before we get busy, let's a staple in on our broadcast is our beer of the week. What you drinking today?
So unfortunately, I am working and taking a break, but I have to go back to work, and so I can't drink a beer right now.
Well, you know what? That's okay. I'll cover for you. How's that?
If I could drink a beer with my present mood, I think I'm going to have to drink a Busch.
It's one of those days, huh?
It's one of those days. I feel like a Busch beer right now. I don't know why. It's just.
Oh, my. That's too bad. I feel for you. I really grumpy, feel sorry.
I'm ornery. And that's just a grumpy old man beer.
I really feel sorry for you. You're having a bad day. I apologize.
How about you?
Well, you know, we remember how we've had this theme about like our comfort foods, or like you always have your Corona, right? Because it's kind of like the one you fall to. For me, it's Guinness.
Oh, there you go.
You know, it just is. Guinness is probably the best beer, you know, for my taste that I've ever found. It's absolutely. And it, you know, it's not one of those things where you want to just go and get all, you know, shit faced and just kick back watching a game or whatever, you know, and just enjoying a glass or two and not making a big deal of it. But it's
yesterday we had our test and we had lunch afterwards, and you had a Sapporo.
I did. Yes.
Japanese Sapporo beer. And tell me, what did you think of that?
I thought it was fantastic. I like that beer so much that while we were sitting there eating, I actually took a picture of the can and, you know, in the glass, and sent that picture. I texted it to a few friends of mine who are just, you know, as big or bigger beer snobs than I am. And I got a few texts back saying, I never even heard of this. Is it any good? And I was like, guys, you got to drink this beer. It's tremendous. It's a really good beer. I was very happy with it.
Well, I'm surprised. I really am surprised they haven't heard of it. Sapporo and Kirin are probably the two major well-known international beers that come out of Japan. When I was there as a student and also for work, I love Sapporo. It's my favorite beer, but for Japanese beers.
Mm-hmm.
The Germans are the ones who actually taught the Japanese how to brew beers in the Western tradition. And so, you know, you can really taste the German influence when you drink Sapporo.
Absolutely.
And same thing with Kirin. Kirin, though, is, you have to try it. I'm not going to tell you what I think of it until I hear your opinion. But Sapporo is my favorite Japanese beer. And boy, I really enjoy it. Like every time we go out, if I'm not driving, I'll always get a Sapporo. In fact, maybe I'll get some this week.
Well, you know what? If I could get it around here, I really don't think I can. But if I could get it around here, I definitely would get it. It would probably be a little bit more expensive, but it would be worth it. It's real good. And yes, you're right. You absolutely can taste the German influence in that beer. You absolutely can. Speaking of yesterday, you and I and a few folks were a little busy. to say the least. We had a Hapkido test yesterday for some of our students who are black belts in other disciplines, and they had their first degree Hapkido test. And two things are really stuck out for me, and you know, obviously I want your thoughts and everything about it, was how impressed I am at in their dedication and how important it was for them to achieve this rank and their desire to continue to practice the art and to explore the art. And the other thing that was very impressive, and you know, it in a way it shouldn't be, because you know, if you knew the quality of the people that were on our floor, it shouldn't come as a shock. But to people who don't understand, again, these are guys that already are black belts and rather of significant rank, not just the first dan. And their humbleness and humility whenever they were practicing, and their eagerness to want to do things correctly and want to learn even during their testing, I thought was absolutely phenomenal. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
That was a great test. Yeah, I was very happy. They really took the curriculum seriously. They practiced, they trained. It was obvious. They really came prepared. So it was a really good test. And I was very happy, very happy. That was a good day. Good test and a good day. I was, they really, it's nice when people, you know, work hard and are ready and prepared, because then you can do things that we were doing, which is some advanced things, which, you know, peering into like application or modifications. And, you know, it's because now that they've got this solid base, when we talk about this, it makes sense. Whereas if you're just, you know, focused on the fundamentals, just the basics, and you don't really, you don't really master it to the point where it's memorized and you can just do it. You kind of get stuck on a level, and you can't go higher. But they were definitely, they had this stuff down. We didn't even need to tell them what they just knew it, and so it was great. I love the best part was at the end there when we were doing our, what did you call it?
The pressure testing.
Pressure, yes. I love that word. I love that term, pressure testing. So, in Japanese, it was more like randori, just kind of freestyle. And what I was really, really liking was their ability to implement the techniques, especially when they were in odd positions, like they might have been on the ground, or maybe somebody was on their back and another person was kicking them in the side, and they were in a very odd situations that they're not used to, and they were able to keep their heads and keep their cool and actually apply a technique that was there for them, and it was, I tried, like when we were doing this, I was trying to give them opportunities to take something. And they did. Great. It was good. It was a very nice thing. I do have bad news, though.
And what's that?
I broke three of my toes.
Did you really?
Yep.
Three of them. You said you had one.
Yeah, no. Three were broken. We got home. I made the mistake on the airplane from Pittsburgh to Atlanta, because my foot was hurting so bad, I took off my shoe, which if you ever break something in your foot, you leave your shoe on until you get somewhere where you can ice it. You don't have to walk around anymore. But I made the mistake because I thought maybe I didn't realize it was that bad. I took my shoe off, and then trying to get my shoe back on was, oh my gosh, was it painful. And then I was hobbling off of the plane, and it was really – the people who had the wheelchairs say, sir, you need to have a ride. And I'm like, No. And I get out, and I was breathing heavy, and it was an effort. And I get outside, and the guy who drives the little car around, he goes, sir, can I give you a ride to your gate? And I was really tempted, But I said, you know what? I got to walk it off.
Got to walk off three broken toes. You know, that's something only have ketoists do. You know that, right? Where do you only look at it like, no, it's, you know, it's a black night, right? It's just a flesh wound. I'll be okay.
So I get, and of course, now my other gate is like on the far, so the farthest end of the airport. That
you of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
It was torture. I finally get there, and I'm waiting for the plane. And then they always announce that people who need extra time can board the plane first. And I thought, oh, I'm going. I need extra time. I've got to go. It took me so long to get down to the plane that the after the disabled, they call the anybody in the military on board. But those guys were already behind me. That's how slow I was. I got on the plane and I got home, took my shoe off, and it was gross. And they're right now I'm looking at them. They're three are all just purple and swelling and yuck.
Oh, I certainly feel feel bad for you. But it's not the first time you've done this.
I just don't know how I did it. That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know how I did it.
I didn't. Well, we were in the moment. I mean, you just don't feel anything when you're in the moment. And I know I did something. I hurt something because I realized after I did it, oh, yeah, it's going to hurt tomorrow. But I didn't realize it was that bad. But
it had to have been a takedown or something.
It was. Well, yeah, because I remember I did a judo roll. Something happened. And I remember I did a judo roll, and that's when I felt it. But,
That's too bad. I do feel bad for you. I really do. Even though, in a way, I'm kind of laughing on the inside, but, that's just how we do things. Hey, I hear there's some sort of game today.
Manchester United played earlier.
I'm sorry?
Didn't Manchester United already play?
They did. They did. They played. They won yet again. So far this season, this Solskjaer run, it, for lack of a better term, they've only dropped 2 points. That's it. All wins in a tie.
Yep.
They are with Arsenal losing today, which I'm assuming they're losing. City was beating them 3-0 last I saw. Kun Aguero had a hat trick. So I'm assuming there's no way they can't. It's Arsenal. They didn't come back from that. United will be solidly fifth on the table. So they're making their way up. They're making their way up. The idea of qualifying for Champions League is turning less and less into a pipe dream and more into a legitimate legitimate chance. I'm not saying it's a reality. They still have a lot of work to do, but boy, it's looking better and better for them.
Yep. And there's another game that's coming on that you were alluding to, which is the Super Bowl. New England Patriots against the LA Rams.
Just to give you a heads up before we begin, the local line is New England -2.5. Okay, so that's here in Western PA.
There were a ton of New England people in going to Atlanta and at the Atlanta airport. A ton.
Really?
All over the place. It would have been Mark's Mark would have been in heaven.
Okay. Yeah, he would have loved being in that airport, I'm sure.
But it was pretty. I maybe saw one Rams fan in the airport.
Really?
So it's like this is going to be this is pretty much going to be like a New England home game down there. Wow. But part of me feels that I don't know. You look at the NFL and you can't help but think it's rigged. You know,
right. It certainly makes you feel that way, doesn't it?
Like that no call against the Saints receiver. I mean, I'm a referee. I make bad calls, but that's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like you're paid to look away bad.
Right. And aren't these guys supposed to communicate with each other? You know, because you had seven referees, right? The NFL has seven referees. all seven of them missed something that blatantly obvious. That's hard to believe. I'm not saying, you know, but boy, that's a tough one.
If you think about if they want the Rams to be in the Super Bowl, then it makes sense. Now, did they get fired? Did anybody get fired yet?
I don't know. I know at some point later last week, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, but there was things pop up on your Twitter feed where Goodell addressed I'll be honest, I'm not paying nearly enough attention to go in and read and see what he had to say. So I really couldn't tell you. But you just get to the point where maybe it's New England because it's always in it. Whenever we Nick and I went to lunch today, he met me at our favorite Mexican place after work today, and ESPN had a graphic up on the television that this is Brady's ninth Super Bowl. This is Tom Brady's ninth Super Bowl. The Steelers, the Cowboys, and I think they said the Broncos. The Steelers and the Cowboys have 8, and I think the Broncos have 6. Brady all by himself has 9. Now, I will make the argument that that's damn impressive.
Yeah, love him or hate him. Yeah. Cheater on the one time or not. Lover and Spygate and all that other stuff. Love him or hate him, you got to admit, he's probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Probably. And he's 50% in everything, right? It's his ninth Super Bowl. He's been in the league 18 years, so he's fifth. Half the time he's been in the league, he's played in the Super Bowl. And half the Super Bowls he's played in, he's won. Or half he's played in, he's lost. It depends on if you're a class.
Well, they're 4-4.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Hmm. Like I said, I didn't look that up either, but so, yeah.
So if you're one of these conspiracy people that says, okay, it's fake. Well, okay, here's why it's fake. You can't have Kansas City, New Orleans in the Super Bowl because nobody will watch it outside those two areas, right? You have to have New England. You have to have L.A. because those are the big markets. And New England travels well. So, okay, so that's one storyline. Here's another storyline for Tom Brady to win. Okay, he's 4-4, right? He wants to get that fifth win, so he's better than 50%. Okay, so that's one storyline. Second storyline could be L.A. Rams, the new guard, new coach, new quarterback. Yep. Here comes the new guys. You know,
there's a lot of drama.
New offense. Here they come and they win. They beat the old timers. You know. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of off the field drama about, you know, that is generated with these two sides.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm unfortunately probably going to work. Probably through the whole game. I don't
think
get a chance to. I'll peek in on the score here and there, but. I'm not going
to be able to. I'll pay attention to the score. I'm in like 4 or 5 different pools. So as to who I care is going to win, I'll be honest, I could care less. It doesn't matter to me. It's to the point where New England and Brady are, it's just regurgitated so many times that I lose interest.
You know? Yeah, it's kind of like with the football, with the college football. I mean, how many times do we want to see Alabama and Clemson play? Yeah. It's like enough already. Let's get some other teams in there.
You know, the thing is that whenever you're talking about college football, it doesn't feel like it's manufactured, right? It's like the last few Super Bowls just seem like they were just manufactured. It was just, I don't know. It's weird. But in any case, I'll be paying attention to the scores because, you know, there's some money to be won. As for prediction, I don't care if he is 4-4. How do you go into a Super Bowl and not bet on Brady? I don't get it, right? Especially against a brand new side, you know, brand new coach. I don't think the Rams have been in the Super Bowl since the Steelers beat them. I mean, they might have been, but I can't right off the top of my head. I can't remember. Maybe if they were, it was once. So was this
oh, wasn't when they were was that when they were the St. Louis Rams? Didn't they get that? Yeah, they did once. They got the Super Bowl.
All right. So it's none of these guys, right? Nobody in this group, not the players, coaches, anything like that. This is all brand new to them, as far as I know. So you're gonna take that inexperience in against Brady and Belichick, and it's only a 2.5 point spread. That yeah, some no, I don't see it happening. But
here's my prediction: New England's going to get up by 2 touchdowns, and LA's going to be playing catch up, and it's just going to be a free fall, and New England's never going to relinquish the lead.
Yeah, I can't see if it comes down to crunch time or if New England has to score, the inexperience that the Rams are going to bring to the table, I can't see them keeping up and or stopping this machine that Brady and company is. I just don't see it happening. But we'll know. Like I said, we'll know. Some interesting things going on in the world of politics and everything right now. Something I was questioning, and I know you were talking about, and you wanted to discuss a little bit, was our president and his tax returns. It appears that one of the things that the Democrats are going to do is they're going to want to see his tax returns now that you got, especially with Maxine Waters right at heading the committee. Your thoughts?
The way they treated Obama with birth certificates and taxes and all this crap, and now this man refuses to turn over his tax returns, okay? I think it's just guilty. He's hiding. He's got stuff to hide, and that's why he won't do it. You know, if you were to say to me, if I was the president, that you would say, hey, turn over your tax returns, I turn them over. You know, if you went through them and, you know, scrutinized them, and sure, somebody will pick apart it and claim something's wrong or whatever, but I wouldn't hide from it. You know, it's like, here, have it, take a look. I don't do anything wrong, not intentionally. So I don't have anything to hide. It's when people have something to hide is they get their backs up against the wall and they'll say no. So he's hiding something. Can you imagine if Obama did that? Just imagine if he wouldn't turn over his tax returns. Oh my gosh, it would have been insanity. It would have been in Hannity. I mean, day after day. Sean Hannity would have been pounding his fist against his mic from, you know, well, Rush would have done it from 12 to 3, and Sean would have done it from 3 to 6 every single day, and then Fox News would have been covering it every single day for months and months and months until it became so big that they would impeach him. How about right now? Look at the president. Look at this guy. He doesn't care, and nobody does anything to him. None of his Republican cronies do a thing. They're just like, well, what can we do? It's the president. He's a part of a party. We got to deal with it. It doesn't. Yeah. I get. I just don't know. I get so like, it's such two-faced. Speaking out of both sides of your mouth, sitting, you know. One leg over one side of the wall, the other leg on the other side of the wall. I mean, he just plays it, and it's like he's on. He feels like he's in a TV show, a reality show. It's infuriating.
Yeah, I remember whenever these same clowns lost their shit over a brown suit. You know. That Obama was wearing one day. He wore a brown suit, and people lost the same idiots lost their mind over this. I keep saying the same thing. You know, I don't care what your politics are, your views on things. Good policy always stands the test of time, right? It always does. But the other thing that bothers me is why do you have to act like a shithead, right? And why do you it's one thing if this orange, you know, idiot we have that's running the asylum is acting like a shithead. But why does everybody who supports this guy also have to act like shitheads? You know, they're going to come for his taxes. You know it. They know it. Everybody knows it. The chairman of the finance committee, and this is why I say he's a shithead. This is why I say the chairman of the finance committee is Maxine Waters. You remember low IQ Maxine, right? If you're going to start making and picking fights with people, I mean, this goes back to bullying 101. So you can't even do this shit, right? If you're going to bully somebody who will never be able to fight back. Because at the end of the day, sooner or later, you're gonna have a weakness exposed. And what happened? The Dems took the House. The House controls the money. And oh my God, this low IQ Maxine now has every opportunity to see what you're hiding. What the hell do you think she's going to do? What's the first thing she's going to do? As soon as the Dems, I promise you, whenever the vote results came in, you know, that night, she didn't sleep. She didn't sleep at all because she was so damn excited that her party won control of the House. And guess what she gets to do now? There was no way she slept. She probably didn't sleep for 3 days, right? Why do you continue to act like a jackass for? Do your stuff, get the stuff you want passed, and get out. I don't understand why he has to be such a continuous shithead.
It's a game for him. That's why. I don't think he takes this seriously. I don't think he ever really wanted to be president. I think it came to him as a surprise. And I think he's playing a game. It just seems like it. He's not. This is a big TV show for him. It's like a reality show. He, look at his poses, the faces he makes. It's like. I just wish.
Yeah.
He's making it a mockery. He's making our country a mockery.
Well, that he is. That he is. And what's worse is he has a branch of government or a sub branch of government who's enabling him to do it, which I don't understand. I mean, I get why they're doing it, because they're too afraid of primaries or whatever. But at some point, and maybe I just look at it naively, but at some point you got to have some sort of integrity. Right. I know Mitch McConnell has no integrity at all. I mean, he's shown that over and over and over again, but they can't be every Republican in the Senate. You know, it can't be. And the fact that they're just allowing them to continue to act this way and do this sort of stupid things over and over and over and do nothing but make their own party look bad. You know, is it worth it? Well, apparently it's got to be. I just don't understand it.
Yeah. You know, McConnell's nothing but a yes man. You know, he's a sycophant, a yes man sycophant. Lindsey Graham's just a big mouth yes man. You know, these guys, these guys who are lining up with him must have something in the back, or got a promise or a deal or something, because they know that when his ship goes sinking, that they've got, it's probably going to be at our expense, taxpayers' expense.
Oh, it always is.
Golden parachutes that they're going to jump on, and, you know, we're going to pay for it. And, you know, everybody who loves the Republicans, all of us, all the blue collar people who are just in love with you're paying for all this out of your tax money. You know, don't think that Democrats are just going to tax us. No, your Republican friends are screwing you over so bad. And you know what the Republicans love? You know what rich people love more than anything is taking your money and making you think that you're doing something good as they take your money. They love it. They play this game over and over. And it's the biggest con job in the world. And then people fall for it. You know, ask yourself, if you ever really want to know, if you ever seriously say, I want to really find out what these guys are about, follow the money.
Always.
Follow the money. Always. And it'll tell you everything you need to know about anybody. And, you know, liars and cheats and con men. And you don't have to be, you don't have to be a low life, somebody dropped out of high school to be a con man. Con men are all over and they're highly intelligent. are so intelligent, you don't even know you're getting conned. You probably will never know you've been conned. And these politicians are nothing but skilled con men, and they're ripping us off. You think about what the president's doing, like taking our military out of Afghanistan and taking charge like that. It's like, what's wrong with you? That's not the president's job. Removing troops from these foreign places that we've committed them to should be done by the military leaders who have expertise in this. The people who went to West Point or the Naval Academy or whatever, these are the people who've got the education, who've got the experience, and then they know how to make these decisions. And that's who should be basing it on. Not some guy who inherited $10 million from his dad when he graduated from school and basically, has been a screw up all his life until he found some success on reality TV. And now you want this man to be making military decisions that could have far reaching consequences? Just like when, George W. Put his fingers up in victory and then opened the door for ISIS. The politicians should not make these decisions. Be the military leaders who make these decisions. Allow your commander, your general, lieutenant chief and staff, whoever, that's the person or people who committee should make the decision about what to do. And based on that decision, you should say, this is how the country's going to go.
That's a good point. He is the commander in chief and all that, but you're paying these people a whole lot of money, and these folks have spent their lives, committed their lives to their military profession. They might have a better idea than it's TV host who claims to be a real estate mogul, neither of which have much to do with what's going on in the Middle East. So I would probably defer to them if I had any kind of brain at all, which apparently he doesn't. Didn't he one time during the whenever he was running make the comment that he knew more than the generals did anyhow? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we probably should have seen this one coming a long time ago. He's out in the field and they just keep enabling him. Earlier this week, I want to say it happened Friday. Might have been Friday. Might have been Thursday. A picture surfaced from a yearbook, a 1984 yearbook from Eastern Virginia Medical University. I did not even know that medical universities have yearbooks, but apparently this one did. And in it was a page dedicated to one Ralph Northam, I'm sorry. That name should sound familiar because he is Virginia's governor. Okay. And that picture that surfaced, or that page that surfaced, showed him standing next to somebody. The person that he was standing next to was dressed in a KKK uniform, and Ralph was all up in blackface. Obviously, it was a costume thing. I'm only imagining that it was done probably around Halloween or whatever. But stupidity knows no bounds, I guess, right? I can't believe that somebody would, number one, do something that incredibly racist. And we got some racist assholes all over the place, but I'm going to get into this a little bit after I get your opinion. I don't know if you had seen the photos or not that was in the yearbook, but you if you didn't, shame on you. Go look, because you're gonna sit there and go, oh my God, I cannot believe this. Obviously, there were everybody's trying to, in his little circles, trying to explain this thing away now. which really you really can't hide it, right? You really can't explain this away. But what do you think? Have you seen this? What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I'm
first of all, that was a if the audio people, you're missing up, because the look on Master Grant's face was perfect. It was just total disgust.
I didn't realize that we're still living in 1865. what is with these elite white idiots? I got to tell you, you know, my own personal experience, I lived in, you know, Japan and China for years. I studied there. And, you know, for people who don't know, the Japanese refer to white people as people of polluted blood. Okay, our blood is impure from all the, you know, mixing and everything. And you may say to yourself, well, I'm Irish, or I'm English, or I'm German, or I'm Italian, whatever. No, the Japanese don't care. We're all polluted. Okay, that's how they say it. We're polluted blood. And the term they use for that, they cleverly disguise and say that, oh, no, it means foreigner, you know, and it means outsider. Yeah. It doesn't mean that at all. But people who understand the language know exactly what they're doing. They do this, they do this wordplay all the time. And an example for the martial artists out there, you hear the word like Daito, which is long sword, right? You think that that's the name of, that's the official name of the katana, the long sword. The katana, by the way, is just Portuguese, but Daito is the official name. Well, there's a art called Daito Jiu-Jitsu. And if you just hear it, you would think, oh, wow, long sword, you know, Aikijitsu. But no, there's a play on words. They want you to think it means sword because of the Aikijitsu and it's, you know, samurai and all this stuff. And you want them to think about sword. But actually, in that context, the word Daito actually means long river. So they do this all the time. They play with the words and they make it seem like it means one thing, but in reality, it means a different thing. And so they do that with what they call white people, and they call us polluted blood. People of polluted blood, and it's actually more hideous than just polluted blood. It's actually a lot more derogatory. So when you live there for a long time and you get exposed to this day after day, all day long, you know, and it starts to affect you. And so you start to really take offense to hearing people say things, hearing people say it or reading about it, or make, you know, people on TV making comments, or, you know, idiot Japanese, like, you know, making fun of it, or, and it really hurts. It makes you nuts. And so, you know, for people who are, for black people here in the United States, this type of thing is just so unacceptable. And these people who do it have absolutely, and they go, I'm not racist. These people have no idea because they've never experienced it. They've never been outside of their realm of, you know, being the number one, right? They're the number one color. They're the number one family. They're the number one school. They're the number one. Their parents, you know, these elitists are all over the place. And people go, oh, those are the Democrats. Democrats are the, no, it's not. These people are the Republicans. These are people who have money, okay? And they can't, they've never been outside of their double gated communities or the gated communities to actually experience life. Experience what it's like to be with other people. And let me tell you, people, we are all one big body of humanity. A person's differentiation in pigmentation of their skin means absolutely nothing. All of our blood is the same. It all bleeds red. You know, you could go in and you can find, you could do a DNA test and find out where localities are. But you know what? We're all part of the human race. You know, God loves us, each and every one of us, the same. And for people to go about thinking that they're better than others, well, like they say, they think they're Christians, but they're not. That's not what God, or Buddhists. You know, you got to love everything and everyone and all creatures, all animals, all things. The same for Christianity, and every major religion teaches the same type of thing. And when you do stuff like this, you put blackface on, you stand around with KKK, you have, well, it basically shows how naive you are, how spoiled rich you are, how no life experience you have, how you've everything's been spoon-fed to you by Silver Spoon. And these type of people, I would love to just have them come and hang around with me for a week, and I'll show them what life's all about. And they would get a whole new understanding of, and I'm not talking about, oh, we're going to go into the, you know, do all these rough things. No, let's go meet people. You know, so many cultures, so many things to experience in this life, and you have to be an idiot like that. He should be canned. He should be thrown out of office and take everything taken away, you know, and he can go live in a trailer park in a mobile home and have to pay and not make no money and then figure out how he's going to pay his lot fees every month. That's what he deserves. Get back and get him back into reality so he knows what life is all about. Sorry. But no, he won't. He's got all the money in the world. He's probably got three homes. He's got health care. He'll never have to worry. His kids will never have to worry. Their grandkids will never have to worry. All thanks to you and me, the taxpayer. Sorry. Well, you got me going.
Well, you know, somebody smart, much smarter than I am, once said, you know, we always see the world as we are, not how things actually are, right? And whenever you have that outlook, as you say, you know, the gated communities, which is a great term, by the way, that's all you see. You don't understand how some of these things affect other people because they have no effect on them, right? You cannot wear something like that and offend me. You would have a hard time explaining to me why you think this is necessary, but I don't have the life experiences for this. I know it's wrong, but I don't have a vested interest. You know what I'm trying to say? I've never experienced it. I wouldn't know. You've had experiences I wouldn't have. Okay. So you can relate to it far better than I can, but I know it's fucking wrong. I know you don't do stuff like that. I know the effect it has on other people. So you just don't do things this way, you know? And then the best part of this whole thing was he originally took the hit for it. And then he turns around today and says that, oh, you know what? That wasn't me. That was somebody else. I would have remembered doing this because, you know, it's black shoe polish. And if anybody knows how has ever done this, they know how hard it is to take black shoe polish off your skin or some shit like that. I came up with some crap. And he refuses to resign on top of that. Right? Dude, you never should have got elected. Okay? You never should have been elected. You shouldn't have had the balls to run knowing you've done things like this, where you are somebody who is going to supposedly represent all of the people of Virginia. The entire population of Virginia is who you're to represent, because you're the governor. And you've done these things. You've done derogatory things at people. And you did it either as a joke or as a costume party or something like that, where you didn't see the impact that these kinds of symbolism have on people, right? And you're naive. Should you be held responsible for the being naive and doing stuff like this? Yes, because you're not six. All right, this was medical school. This wasn't like, you know, Carmen wearing a Hitler outfit for Halloween, and then the teacher's taking it off of him and putting a KKK uniform on him instead, which, by the way, was a great South Park episode. It was absolutely hysterical. But, you know, it's not like you're this little kid. But if you're in med school, you're a grown-ass adult human being. You know better. It boggles my mind. It absolutely boggles my mind how people can do this type of shit and refuse to acknowledge the impact that it has on other people. And I don't care what he's saying. the fact that he won't take the hit, take the responsibility and do what should be done, and that's step down and resign. The fact that he's not willing to do that is telling me that he has no interest in taking any kind of responsibility for some things he did. I don't care how long ago it was. You're just refusing to do it.
Yeah. What he should have done, the right thing he should have done. Well, first of all, he should never have run, right? But he did. And when this became exposed, which he knew was going to eventually happen, he should have been prepared for it. And he could have, and hopefully he would have been sincere and said, you know what, it was wrong, stupid. I hate myself for having done it, but I'm not going to hide. Yes, it happened. And I hate myself for it. It'll never happen again. I'm going to do everything I can never to let something like this happen again. That's the response of a mature, intelligent individual. But unfortunately, just because you go to med school doesn't mean that you're the smartest person in the room. You know, I got to tell you, and I hope that the AMA is listening, because the people who get into med school are not the top brightest. They're not. They're the richest. They're ones who can pay. You know, medical school, and people who think, oh, well, I went to medical school. I'm a doctor. I spent 12 years in school. No, you didn't. You're nothing more than somebody who's got a master's degree and then went to a plumbing school. That's exactly what you are. You know, you spend 2 years getting a master's degree, which a lot of people do, and then you go to a vote tech school to learn a trade. So don't give me this crap about 12 years in school. No, it's not true. You know, and you look at the idiots who do this to the bozo type of stuff, and they are rich kids who got everything handed to them, including med school, and that's why when you look at the quality of the doctors that we have here, they pale in comparison to doctors from Europe, doctors from Asia. They pale. They're about maybe 2/10 as intelligent as doctors from abroad. And we say, oh, we've got the greatest healthcare system in the world. Guess what? We don't. It's sub-quality. It's subpar. Patients are dying from routine surgeries because these doctors don't know what they're doing. And when you get people like this who are qualified to go to med school and get through med school and they're taking a knife and cutting you open, how's that sound? I don't want that by touching me. And that's why, you know, I refuse to go to hospitals. I refuse. And they find me outside laying dead. And if I've got the strength in me, I'm climbing to the top of the tree, and that's where I'm going to die before they drag my ass over to a hospital where there are some clowns, you know, cut me open and then take every single penny I have. No, not going to happen. Oh, guess what? Okay, we talk about, okay, now, see, I should stop.
Okay.
You know Cuba? The country of Cuba, which everybody says, oh,
so I heard of it.
Country, you know, it's all communist, it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what the Cubans do? The Cubans know that it's far more expensive to treat illness than it is to do preventative medicine. And that is why they have so many clinics and so many tiers of medical facilities there to prevent serious illnesses from happening and catching it when it starts. Because preventative medicine is cheaper. Why don't we do that here? Why are we so stupid? We don't. My own personal thing with my heart issue. I knew 5 years that there was something wrong, and I couldn't get anyone. I couldn't get the insurance to cover the checking me out. So it took me to have a minor stroke before anybody paid any attention. And so the insurance company had to pay for all that.
There's a lot of things to touch on with that. If we go back to the very beginning of this, the one thing that bothered me a lot with this governor and this photo, and I said it right off the bat, is because it was in a yearbook. How the fuck did a picture like that make it into a yearbook? First of all, right? How does the people who were putting this thing together look at those pictures and go, you know what? That's a damn good picture of Ralph. I hope, right? That's the first thing I didn't understand is, okay, they got this picture, and yeah, this guy was a jackass, and yeah, he's got to go now because he did something he should have, and he sure shouldn't have, and there's a price to pay for that, and it's a steep price, but it was pretty fucking ignorant, it was pretty stupid, and yeah, that's the price you pay for that kind of stupidity. I don't care how old you are at the time. But in order for them to get this picture in the yearbook, somebody had to let it go. I mean, there's editors, right? I mean, even high school yearbooks have editors. I mean, they're high school kids, but you know, I don't understand how this thing got published to begin with.
I can't even imagine the person going, "Yes, we need this picture in the yearbook."
That's a great picture. But Ralph looked good in that picture. It's a shame that Steve or Dave or Bob or whatever the hell the guy's name is in the KKK uniform, you know, because it's his face is covered. It's a shame. Boy, it's a shame we couldn't see his face in that picture because that's beautiful.
That's the face of our school right there, right?
That's the people we want representing our school.
Unless the editor decided that they need to make a statement and say, this is the type of crap that's going on here. Hopefully one day people will see this.
Yeah, either that or the guy that's in the KKK uniform was the editor. You know, there's always that part. Yeah. So that was the first thing that I got out of it. The second thing, and I've said it before, we have the most screwed up healthcare system in the world. So it's no wonder that our life expectancy compared to other nations as advanced as ours is the lowest, right? We have the only system in the world where the people who need the system, or the people who I should say are managing the system or administering the system are doing it on a for-profit basis. Okay, so it's great whenever you're at a point in your life where all you're doing is paying into the system, right? Which is basically everybody between 18 and, I don't know, 30, right? Well, not everybody, but almost everybody. So you're golden. They love you. But whenever you start hitting our age and starting getting older, the amount you're paying into this system is either a finite amount because, let's face it, your life expectancy is coming to an end, or you're starting to pull from this now. So their profits are going down. Somebody's life, somebody's ability to live a life for as long as they possibly can should not be dictated or determined by anything whose sole purpose is to make a profit. There's no reason for that. I'm sorry. So you want to solve this healthcare problem, this crisis that what we have, this shit that people have to deal with. Insurance companies have to go because you cannot have something whose sole purpose for being there is to make a profit and have that entity be responsible for your healthcare. It just doesn't work. It just does not work. You will die.
Unfortunately, these insurance companies have way too much money, way too much influence to ever let
it shouldn't exist. Stop.
As a programmer, I actually know very well and in detail how this works. I hope I don't put anybody to sleep with these with this, but it all comes down to the claims ratio, how much you're paying out versus how much you're bringing in. The claims ratio can be set at 65% or 75%. Usually it's 65, which means that you can only pay out 65% of what you bring in. So if Grant Miller here pays in $100, they will only pay $65 for my health care. They won't go above it. They can't. So the $45 is their profit. Now, like you said, how can an organization that's going to take $100 from me, $45 they're putting in their pocket, and then they're going to pay $65 out, how does that work? You know, it doesn't work. It's broken. It's flawed. You can't do it. It's ridiculous. You know, and they say, well, don't worry. We'll if you get a major, you know, something really bad, We're going to cover that. How many times do you think that's going to, do they actually cover it? Read the fine print. They almost never have to cover the $10 million healthcare claim. Right. It usually just gets pushed back to the hospital and they have to eat it. The insurance companies don't pay for it. They're in the business of, and they've got lawyers on staff who analyze these things. They've got these things worded so particularly that you can't win. They know all the loopholes. They know all the games, and there's no way that you, Joe Schmo, is gonna be able to beat them at it. So all this money that you put in is just basically going to line these rich tycoons' pockets so they can buy their yachts and buy their sea house, beach house homes, and go into their double gated communities, which will soon be triple gated because you can't really trust double gated people. You need another gate to keep the double gated out. But you know, you go into these gated communities, and it just mind boggles me that, you know, and then people say, well, we can't have a socialist state. You know, we already do. What do you think Social Security is? Right? What do you think Medicare, Medicaid are? These are social programs. You're in a socialist state, like it or not. You know, we should work to improve on this. I've always said there should be two types of healthcare. One is the healthcare that we have. Let it go. Let the rich, the people who have money and the rich can afford it, let them get their treatments and all. And then you have the government-supported healthcare, where you take young doctors coming out of college who don't have rich families to pay for everything, and they can go in and they can work in the government's run hospital or clinic for, you know, a period of 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and they can get their debts paid off. You know, and then after that, they're free. They can do whatever they want. They can stay there. And, you know, there's a lot of benefit. People who go into the medical practice, okay, so there's two types of people. People go in it for the money. They just want to become a doctor, so they get a doctor and make a, you know, $500,000 a year. And then there's people who actually go in it for the right reasons because they care about people and they want to treat people and help people. So let those people do what they're going in for and put them into, you know, government-run hospitals where every single thing is rated, meaning every item is charged, has a price tag on it. You know, and you could go to the other hospitals and let them float around mysterious numbers until you actually have something done, and then get whopped with a, you know, $50,000 price tag, $50,000 bill. But you know, you go to a government, and you know your costs. You know, the medicine's going to cost you $50. The room for the night's going to cost you $150, right? Mm-hmm. I think the insurance companies will love that. Insurance companies will be all over that. Like, holy crap. This is what we need to be insuring, you know. But these hospitals with their imaginary figures, you know, let them deal with their own. So I think it would be a great way to help correct the situation. But remember what happened with Hillary's healthcare and how Sean Hannity, Rush, and everybody shot it down? You know, I'm sorry, I'm not Hillary's, but well, it was kind of Hillary's, but that was Obama's. And then how they just... I mean,
yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Well, you know, it, until people are willing to stand up and decide that their health care or their lives, the quality of their lives, is more important than denying quality of life to somebody else, this is what we're going to have. This is what we're stuck with. And that's unfortunate that people are more willing to cut off their noses to spite their faces. It really is. Because at the bottom line, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. That's what it's all about. I think we probably should be wrapping this up. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss before we call it a podcast?
Oh, I've got lots of things in my head. what if I start again? It'll be another 20 minutes. So I'm going to have to just hold myself back. I do have to say, though, that it was wonderful seeing you this weekend, having the opportunity to train and test. And I just so enjoy it. It just brings so much to – it means so much to me. And, you know, you talk about – I mentioned to Clint, who came and watched the test, I said to him, I just wish this is all that we could do because I always love it so much. And it makes me so happy. And, you know, anyway, it was a great pleasure. And I hope that you felt the same. You probably And you're probably like, oh, no, here he goes again. Oh, somebody's jumping.
No, no, no. There are very few things in life that I enjoy more than sharing a training mat with you. There really are. Very, very few. It is a shame, you know, that we have this passion for something we're either going to be very good at or we'll make money at, but we won't be able to do both. You know, we actually have to go separate ways and work and do jobs and do things that keep us away from what our passion is. It truly is.
You know, it is nice though to see our group. It's growing. We've got a nice little group of students and black belts, and it's really, for me, you know, I never think that I'm gonna never amount to much in this life, but having small victories like this and being able to do good things for people and to make them happy is, to me, is all worth it. That's little thing like that is a big deal for me, because it's like, you know, if I can just make somebody smile and feel good about themselves, that's what it's all about.
That's what, yeah, exactly. And it makes the days like we had yesterday very, very special. It really does. Well, sir, I think we should wrap this thing up. I'm pretty sure that we've taken enough of people's time for the week. Before we say goodbye, I'd like to again, like I do every week at the end of every episode, is thank everybody who's watching or listening. You know, your time is very important and very valuable. And the fact that you're willing to spend some of that time with us means a great deal to us. So, sir, I will talk to you during the week. I at least touch base with you once or twice. And until then, have a good week. And I'll see you next Sunday. Right here on this channel.
We'll see you right here at this channel, same bat time, same bat channel.
That channel. There we go. Okay, sir. We'll see you. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye. Thanks, everybody. God bless. Take care.